This is an ABC podcast.
This is Nijan Footy with Sam Wykes and Tinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Ma lord ni to our Tokelauan listeners and welcome to everyone to Nijan Footy, your go-to place for all your favourite Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and alongside me is my right-hand man, my Cook Island Coey, Tinirao Arona. T, I love having you back, mate. I miss you on Mondays.
Kia ora, brother, and kia ora to everyone listening to Nijan Footy. How's the Mondays going, mate?
It's going okay. Look, I can't complain. The boys are doing a great job. We have Sefa back on Monday, but when are you back?
Three more weeks
without you.
I'm off to New Zealand this weekend.
Yeah.
And I'll catch up with the Warriors on Monday, and then I think we've got a couple other clubs the next following Mondays as well. So 3 more weeks. Hang in there,
okay,
buddy.
Thanks,
I'll be back.
Mate. Beautiful.
Mate, we've got a big show for everyone here on Nijan Footy. Plenty of league, plenty of union. We'll catch up with Totai Kefu, who will cover all our rugby union news. And are we getting Salo on today, or she's not on today?
I'm not too sure. It was a tough loss last week.
Are you serious?
Yeah, she's got a lot of raps on the Raiders, so that's why T said this is the game of the round with the new pack of the Tigers and the Raiders.
So what do you make of this
that
one,
Sala? That burns me. That riles me up. Like, oh my gosh. If once I see one little thing or hear a little thing, that really gets me tunneled vision. Like, just want to do my job and knock the front door down.
Yeah.
She came out guns blazing.
She talked the side up and was pretty upset about those comments about Raiders from Shelley Long.
And
think she might be hiding. But
nah, she's got something on. She ran through and said she's got some stuff on with because obviously the girls still have to work.
It's all right, mate. We've done it before. We've covered. So let's just do it again.
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, let's rip into the show.
Talo Fulava, kia ora ana. I'm Lima Sopawanga, and you guys are listening to Nijan Footy.
Lima Sopawanga, the better cousin of tea. But as always, we kick off by wrapping up the week's news. Let's get started with the NRL game from last night. T, the Tigers that you keep tipping against. That's the secret, eh?
The knockout tipping cop. Just go whoever. I don't want to talk down on them, because last night when they played the Cowboys at Leichhardt, yes, they lost this game 48-30, but geez, they showed some heart. You know, Justin Olam, he gets sent off. So he gets sent off for the rest of the game. And this was early in the second half. He put a high shot on Samoan Helam Luki. So they lose him, but then they end up looking like they had the extra player at times. So they just played with that extra bit of desire, determination. Benji Marshall, the coach, he mentioned it in the post-match press conference. The amount of heart that the team had, you know, he was impressed by it. He stood strong by his players, and he loved that they looked like they wanted to represent the Tigers.
Yeah, he said that a lot in his press conference, the people asking the questions wanted to get into a bit more detail, but he just kept coming back to the heart, the effort, and he was proud of the way they wore the Tigers jersey out there. So that was outstanding from him. The send-offs, 16 this year compared to 2 last year. Is that due to the rules more so than their discipline?
Mate, I think you mentioned it this morning. We spoke off air and you said that the next team had 10 send-offs and then the one before that was only 5. So there has to be some kind of discipline area for the Tigers where, you know, they're just giving, you know, whether it's 1 or 2 many penalties as well as momentum. You'll see with most games that the team that has more momentum, that is, you know, running harder, finding the quick play of the balls, the ref usually gives to that team.
Yep.
So, you know, Tigers probably struggled in that department. But I thought last night they did show heart, even though they lost this game. Look, 14 tries in total. I don't know if there was much
touch footy
defensive work in this game. It seemed like one of those fun union games we used to speak about early in the year. But one thing I did love was the amount of Nijan stars that had some unreal games. Now, a couple for Tigers. I'll start with Samuela Fainu. Now, he looked like he was one of the main players, scored 2 tries for the Tigers, And then the Fijian fullback, Dareem Buller, the Dream, he scored two tries as well, ran 21 times, ran for 259 metres and had 9 tackle breaks.
De Silva, right to Kroesau, then he offloads to Porter. One-handed back, brilliantly done to Buller. He's over halfway, looking for support. Drinkwater misses him. Oh, bye-bye. Over the 20-10, Dareem Buller, magic. He's over to score. What a run. Game on, North Queensland 18, West Tigers 14, and the Tigers faithful in front of us are thumping the air like Leighton Hewitt when he beat David Nalbandian at Wimbledon. It's 18-14 to the Cowboys, but the Tigers are storming at the moment, Matthew Elliott.
That was an offload from Reuben Porter, our Cook Island friend who joined us here on Nijan Footy as well. He had a pretty good game last night, made a nice line break as well, and offload that led to another try. At the Cowboys, I thought Thomas Michele, so he was actually an ex-Tigers player. He played over in England for a stint at the Warrington Wolves, came back, found an opportunity at the Cowboys. He come off the bench and he just ran amok with the ball. You could see that intent, the leg speed. He had 55 post-contact meters, second highest in this game. Thought he was a standout. And also the winger, Murray Taulangi. He had 17 carries, ran for 197 metres and scored a hat-trick.
Comes to the left, McIntyre away to Galvin, then to Val Holmes, beats one, away to Murray Taulangi, and he jogs over to score the try that looked oh so simple. And this time referee Chris Butler points to the spot. 8 minutes 30 left in the first half, and now it's the Cowboys leading by 16 points to 4 over the West Tigers, and that's a double for Murray Taulangi.
But as I mentioned, look, the Cowboys, great win. I know it's always a tough game to go to Leichhardt in Sydney and play the West Tigers at night time. I was actually quite impressed with the amount of fans that went to Leichhardt considering the position that they're on the ladder Thursday night. So that's still great to see, and great work from all the Tigers fans by sticking by their players.
Is this week a special round in rugby league?
Women in league round.
Not just for the players, is it for?
Not for everyone.
Everyone.
So, special shout out to my mother, who plays a big role in the community,
and the volunteers,
the rugby league,
yes,
community, mate. They are the ones that create, you know, this game. So yeah, shout out to all the women across rugby league. Great work, mate. While we're on here, Toi Komanu, Stefano Toi Komanu, he's mentioned to the team, or told Coach Benji Marshall, told the team that he'll no longer be at the club next year. He'll start looking at other options. But, yeah, I thought it was for him, young 23-year-old, you know, handling it like a true professional. A man telling them early, letting the coach know first, then telling the team, you know, sometimes that, this is rugby league, it's a business. And Benji mentioned it in his post-match press conference, you know, the players all go on. Players will move on, come back, but the club will always be here. So,
and he played well last night?
Yeah, he played well. Ran with intent. He was, you know, one of their go-forward guys. I thought considering everything that's been happening this week, I thought he really stepped
up. He's going to play some outstanding footy in this next, 5 games to go for the Tigers. Weight off the shoulders. I think he'll be enjoying his footy before he moves on.
Another news, the New Zealand Warriors, they have confirmed that Jazz Tevanga will no longer be re-signed at the club past the season. And then I know there were some rumours around Samoa and Brian To'o at the Panthers. I don't know who's rumours, but he's just gone straight on social media, posted a story shot and saying he ain't going nowhere.
Did he post it with Goku, like Dragon Ball Z, saying I'm not going anywhere?
Yes. Yeah,
is he a big Dragon Ball Z fan, is he?
So Bizzers. The characters are Bizz's Goku and Jerome's Vegeta, the boys. And then the Eels, Blaze Taulangi has told the Eels that he'll be leaving at the end of the season, same as Stefano Toi Komanu. It's been reported that he will most likely join the Panthers, but we'll see how that goes. You never know with, you know, we've seen earlier this year with David Fifita, you know, everyone's saying that he signed at the Roosters. A couple of days later, he's going nowhere, so we'll see how that plays
out. Until it comes officially from where you're in the know, if it comes from the player or the club themselves, you just got to take it as with a grain of salt. Is that right, T? Is that fair to say?
That is fair to say. Don't jump the gun unless you know. And usually all the ones that you've called have come through. So,
Speaking of that,
Rob Leota.
Yeah, he's signed. That's done deal. But we'll get to rugby news. But, hey, did you listen to the show on Monday? Big Joseph Paulo.
With that little bit of a...
Mate, he's thrown out a speculator. He's thrown it
Has it come through?
I don't know. I was with Tana, and I'm going to get into that, with Tana Umanga last night.
What was his name again?
Semi Radradra. He's claimed it. He can't even tell me where his source was, where he got it from. And I don't know if it's going to be Moana Pacifica or the Drua, because usually for the Moana Pacifica, it's Tongan and Samoan players, because the Drua's in, so the Fijians will naturally go there. So it could be left field option. If this doesn't come through for Seth, that's his last gig. He's out.
Well, that's it for Rugby League. I know we've got plenty to come this weekend, and if Salah doesn't jump on shortly, we'll be covering that as well. Sammy, before we get to Rugby Union, just want to remind everyone that they can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia. There you have it.
Beautiful, T. Love the Rugby League news. It's never short of anything special. Always plenty happening over there. Rugby Union this week, still no test matches to be played. They'll get ready for the Rugby Championship. Will be played
in a few weeks.
Next week.
Oh, what?
I'm pretty sure it is. Or on the 10th. When's the 10th?
Oh, what's the 20?
23rd is the Pacific Nations Cup.
Oh, okay.
That kicks off for our Pacifica brothers. We'll see Fiji, Samoa, Tonga in that competition. So looking forward to that. But I got to catch up with a legend last night, T. Tana Umanga.
Yeah, seen your socials.
Yes, mate. I was like a kid in a candy store and just absolutely loved the chat I had with him. He's down here doing some coaching development with some rugby league clubs. Spent some time with the Dolphins, with Wayne Bennett, and this week is with the Penrith Panthers.
How did you get the foot in the door?
Foot in the door? I know him personally. No, I don't know him personally. I wish I did. Now, there's another guy that I played with and played against. He was at the Brumbies, Fotu Awelua. He played under Tana at Toulon. Fotu's son just signed with South Sydney, actually. 4-year deal there. Young boy, 17 years of age. So congratulations to him.
This is union news, mate.
Oh, sorry.
You meant to throw that league news to me.
Yeah,
mate.
Sorry. I just wanted to break that first. but, yeah, so that was the in. And yeah, during the preseason for Moana Pacifica, Tana reached out to Fotu asking if he knew of any local Pacifica players here in Australia that he would be willing to put forward to help play for Moana. And two of those players actually made their debut. Airi Papuni, Samoan, and Thomas Maka, who's Tongan, born in Australia. And Fotu was training them, trying to get some Ks in their legs and go through a bit of detail that Tana was looking for before they started their preseason for Moana Pacifica. So he came back to the club to give a speech to the Campbelltown Harlequins Rugby Club and just say thank you to them for allowing Fotu to use the grounds and train some of those players before they went for the preseason. Man, what an amazing chat with him. He was just, I was in awe of just listening to his story and where he came from. And I remember you told me, ask him, what did he learn from someone like Wayne Bennett, you know, from a coach? You know, we think of Tana, he's as a player, he was the best in the game.
Mm-hmm.
He's been there as a coach. So he's been in high performance for a very, very long time. And he said what he loved about Wayne Bennett was just him saying to him, keep things simple. Don't overcomplicate it. It's a simple game at the end of the day with your messaging, with your detail, especially if you're not getting the wins on the ball, because that's what he was looking for the most, because the Dolphins are a startup club and Moana Pacifica like a startup club. You know, so how do you start building your culture and then your messaging, especially if you're not getting the wins early? And he was just saying, you just have to keep everything simple until you can start adding more layers to it.
Until you build a foundation.
Build that foundation, yep. So it was cool to hear that he's still learning. He said he loved learning from Wayne Bennett. And the other thing that his eyes lit up, he said walking into two different environments, but seeing the amount of Pacifica players, you know, preparing, sharpening the axe, getting their detail in, getting ready for, you know, war on the weekend to that contact battle, that physical battle. He said, "Yeah, as an older Samoan man, 51 years of age, you know, and just seeing the athletes really put themselves to work, understanding, wow, it's come a long way from when he was, you know, preparing as a young kid. They just didn't have that same detail and the same, you know, level of communication skills as they had now." And he loved that.
That confidence, eh?
The confidence.
Yeah.
And he specifically mentioned Jerome Luai. I go, if you could take anyone over to Moana, who are you taking? He goes, oh, Jerome Luai for sure.
Damn. That's just a big shout by.
Big shout, eh?
Tana, yeah.
And he just talked about the fact that he just loved Jerome Luai. Like, he knows he gets the balance right. Still can have a joke, still can have a laugh, but he's not afraid to call someone out if it's not up to standard.
Oh, we've seen it during games and even straight after a game where he's pulled someone up. I remember he spoke to, it was Jamin Salmon last year, straight after the game. They're having that discussion, but he's just holding them accountable and just saying, look, you missed the assignment, or, you know, play your role. And that's what leaders do.
Exactly. And that's what he said. He's loving the progression of our Pacific athletes becoming more, like having more leaders involved. It was like, he was the very first Samoan captain for the All Blacks, you know, so that was a huge thing for, you know, our Pacifica people, that he was front and center of such an iconic team. But now there's more and more leaders, and we see that in both codes, you know, as captains. So love that. I love the fact that he talked about Artie Savia, you know, where that started. He said that Artie, at the World Cup last year, just had a chat with Artie, you know, just around some things. And as he left, you know, their little meeting, you know, just a little casual catch up,
yep,
he goes, Tana, don't forget about me for Moana. And he's like gone, hey, bro, his eyes lit up. Like, he was just like, nah, got on the phone to the CEO. Hey, I don't know if it's a throwaway comment, but let's just see where this leads. Kept in contact with him over this period. Obviously, having his brother Julian Savia as well was a big advocate for Moana. And he just rang him and just said, hey, Tana, I'm coming.
This is, so it feels like, I'm getting goosebumps, eh? Feels like Artie's had this in his heart for a while.
He said that. He absolutely said that. And I go, oi, when we're normally talking about contract negotiations, obviously money's one of them, coaching's one of them, winning's one of them, who you're playing with. Man, I was like, how much of the discussion was around giving back, you know, representing his family, giving back to those who came before him? He goes, it was the bulk of it. He just really wanted to just make a statement of, I'm giving back to my people, our Pacifica people, and I still want to win. He said that's the main thing, marrying up high performance and
culture. Yeah.
Every day. And he goes, I'm bringing that winning attitude. So he's just excited that someone at his peak has decided to make that move, just like we saw Andrew Fifita, Jason Tamalolo, all the Samoan boys as well, do that to make a statement so more players want to come. So he is absolutely over the moon that that's happening.
I won't lie, mate. I was pretty jealous. Would have been a special experience. And you shared offline earlier that you even got to drive him.
I drove him home. Is Penrith near you? I was like, yeah. Bro, it's an hour out of the way, but for the GOAT, I'm doing whatever it takes. But that was outstanding. I thought, for me, that was a pinch-me moment to be able to sit with one of the greats.
That's awesome.
Just talk about that. In other news as well, we saw Seru Uru and Marika Korombete joining the Wallaby squad, which is good, and we'll go into a bit more detail with Torai Kefu, just around his thoughts around overseas players being picked when they said the Wallabies wouldn't. We also saw, here we go, T, signing news. It's come to fruition. Daniela Tupou, we mentioned it before, he's signed a one-year deal. And reading between the lines, if you're only signing a one-year deal, he's going to take a massive offer overseas, I reckon, if that's what you're doing. And we also saw Rob Leota, the former Rebels captain, also land at the Waratahs, and that's been signed, sealed, and delivered as well.
Geez, I might become a Tars fan now. Couple of the boys.
You'll be what, the 500th Tars fan? if
we get Daniela on the show, I'll buy me a Waratahs jersey.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Man, you're not buying anything.
No, yeah, I won't buy it. I'll ask him for a training shirt.
No, it's big news for the Waratahs. Some good things there. And we will hopefully see the improvement that will come with some of those experienced players, especially our Pacifica talent. But T, that is
plenty of use. Oh.
So that's it in the 15 aside code. Let's wrap up the Olympic sevens. The women's closing out the competition. New Zealand women's bringing back the first gold for their country, back-to-back champs. While Australia just missed out on a bronze, and Fijiana, they placed 12th at the Olympics, not winning a game out there. So obviously a disappointing campaign for Fiji and the women's. Hopefully plenty more improvement for them for their next campaign. But that's all we have for Rugby Union. T?
Too easy, brother.
Bula, my name is Vani Are. You're listening to Nijan Puri.
Well, Sammy, Salatonga Tuki is unavailable today.
So definitely not coming on.
Definitely not. So we're going to give it a crack and, yeah, play her role. So I'm going to cover maybe one or two NRL games to preview, and then we'll also cover a couple NRLW. But I'll start with the Warriors versus Eels, which will be played in a matter of maybe an hour or two. Look, I think this is a really important game for both teams. They're probably not in the hunt for that finals. Well, you never know with 6 games to go. You never know, they could go on a big run. But we've seen the return of Cook Islander fullback Chance Nickel-Klodstad and also Sean Johnson. So it means, you know, Roger Toivasa-Sheck will now move from fullback onto the wing. I always love watching these Warriors games because when they play at home, I think they've sold every home game this season. They have sold out.
That's amazing considering, obviously, the results haven't gone their way compared to last year. But for the fans to still show up like that, that's beautiful to see.
I'm looking forward to the matchup between Will Pennicini and, you know, the Warriors outside backs. Will Pennicini and Blaise Talangi. So both of them, you know, pretty dynamic centres. I've mentioned earlier, Blaze already announced to the team that he'll be moving on. So it'll be interesting to see how he responds. You know, we've seen Stefano have a big game last night. Now I'm pretty sure Blaze is going to turn up for the Eels and put a show on. So definitely one to look forward to. Who are you tipping in this one, Warriors or Eels?
I'm going to go the Warriors because I need to get a tip right. I tip the Parramatta Eels at the beginning of the year. That was my prediction that they would get the wooden spoon. So I need something to come to fruition with my tipping tea. So I'm death riding the Parramatta Eels for the rest of the season. Does that play on to do that?
Well, I'm hoping the Warriors. Yeah, I hope the Warriors win because when I go into the club visits on Monday, usually it's a lot easier. Better.
It is.
When the team has just won the week before. You go in there, everyone's bubbly, happy. But when they lose, it's like, oh man, this is going to be, depending on what kind of playing group, it can be a tough visit. But all the best to the Warriors and Parramatta Eels tonight that they will be playing in Auckland. I think the other game to look forward to when you look at this round, Broncos v Titans. Mate, you tell me this time last year that Broncos will be in this position right now, I wouldn't believe you. They made the grand final. They've been struggling. They lost a few games in a row. Titans starting to find a fair bit of form as well. I feel like David Fifita has really stepped up from not being selected for the Queensland squad, Queensland series. I think Moyaki Fotuaika, he's really stepped up since their origin period as well and played some really good footy for the Titans. But, you know, Broncos still have a stacked team. Payne Huss, Brandon Piakuta's back, Jordan Rickey, Dean Mariner, who's playing some good footy for the Broncos as well. So a really, really good game to look forward to. Titans outside backs as well. Keon Kinney, Alofiana Kampereta. He scored that many tries, Alofiana. So a big game to, the Battle of Queensland.
It is. I'm going to go for the Titans on this one.
You're going the Titans?
Yeah, I'll always like the little brother matchup, going for the underdog. Especially seeing the halftime spray that Des Hasler gave his team last week for them to fire up and get back out there. So, yeah, I'm going the Titans.
I am going the Broncos in this one. And the NRLW, a big game between the Knights and Canberra Raiders on Saturday morning at 11 o'clock Sydney time. This is a big one. Both coming off the back of huge wins. I think Newcastle, you know, showed how much desire they have on their try line in terms of defense. And like I say, defense wins competitions. Canberra Raiders getting the job done last week over the Tigers, 32-12 they won. So really looking forward to that match. Plenty of Nijan stars as well that represent the, both teams. You know, Yasmin Clydesdale.
Samaima Taufa.
Samaima Taufa.
Yeah, huge. And you know the slogan for the Knights girls for their year? Defend the kingdom.
Defend the kingdom. Three in a row they're going for.
Yes, yeah, so that's their theme, and they certainly showed that against the Roosters last week, and they'll be looking to do that again against the Raiders.
And then the other game I think really stands out for me is two teams who are usually the favourites at the start of any every NRLW season, and they've both just come off the back of losses in round one, the Sydney Roosters and the Brisbane Broncos. With the Brisbane Broncos, Aneta Nuosala, she's been suspended for 4 weeks in total. I think she got 2 weeks for that hip drop and then 2 weeks for the striking. I was going to ask,
which was which, you know, for the strike and the hip drop, but 4 weeks in total.
4 weeks in total. And, yeah, I think for both teams, the thing is with NRLW, the season is so short that these early wins, you need to collect them. Like, you need to get those 2 points. You need to get off to a good start because I believe it's only, you know, 9 to 10 rounds. So you miss out on these early wins, it could bite you in the back end of the season. Now, both lost last round. Whoever, there will only be one winner that comes out of this one, unless they have a draw. So whoever does lose starts the season with two losses. So a big, huge, important game for both teams. Well, for the Roosters, we've had big brother Will Hopewate come in to the studio and be on Nijan Footy. But the number 10 for the Sydney Roosters, Pani Hopewate, makes another appearance, and yeah, looking forward to seeing how she goes. And I'm hoping that Will, you know, brings the younger sister in, and then we can chop it up on Nijan Footy.
Absolutely, T. And Sulla, make sure you're back next week because we really need you for this segment. You're outstanding.
Yeah, Sulla, if you can't notice, well, you can't see me. I'm sweating. I am sweating bullets here.
Nah, you did a great job, T. Outstanding work. Where are we off to next?
We are off to Culture Shock.
Culture Shock. Let's get into it.
Culture Shock.
Yes, Sammy, it's Culture Shock. Last week I told you about my own culture, the Cook Islands, and gave you a little bit of insight on what shocked me when I first moved to the Cook Islands and spent a year there. So if you want to listen to that, find it wherever you find your podcast. And this week we are heading to your second home, Fiji. Sammy, what do you got for us?
Fiji, find your podcast. Wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, wherever you get your podcast.
Search Nijan Footy. But anyway.
Did I say that? Find your podcast.
Find your podcast. Anyway, yes, we are going to my second home. Love the beautiful island of Fiji. Beautiful people. The happy place. Remember one of our Nijan knowledge questions early on in the piece, you talked to me about how many official languages are in Fiji. And I said there was a lot more than three. Is that right? Was it three official languages? Fijian, Hindi, and English?
English, yes.
Yeah, there it is. And I talked about all the different dialects. And so that's what we're going to say. We're going to go to in the west, you know, around Nandrunga, Navosa. That's the western dialect. They have a different dialect to, I guess, the people up in Suva. And they changed the standard Fijian S to a H when they're down in Nandrunga.
The pronunciation of it?
Pronunciation.
Pronunciation. What did I say? Pronunciation.
Pronunciation.
Well, you know.
You're on fire, T. Outstanding. So,
Sully, you've rattled me, mate.
Rattled. Nah, you're all good. But knowing some of the names, so that's sort of a distinct identity of the fact if you're from that area of Nandrunga, that the S's ends up getting changed to a H. So
give us an example.
So if there's a player for the Fijian Drua, his name is Drua Sese, the fullback, outstanding. Even Nemani Nondolo told me in commentary, you can pronounce it Drua Hehe. Yeah, instead of Drua Sese.
So you just change the S with a H, so your name would be Hammy Wikes.
I guess it would be, yeah, it'd be Ham Wikes.
Ham.
Hemwella.
All right, I'm going to call you Ham now.
There we go. On that, I think that's correct. And then, so even we normally hear Fijians saying Bulavinaka.
Mm.
You know, in the Western dialect, they go Dholavina. So that's how you know as well, as their hello. So that's my culture shock, my fact.
Beautiful.
From the beautiful island of Fiji.
Nice, Ham. Where are we off to next week, mate?
Where do you want to go next week?
Where's your second home? My second home. Ooh.
What have we done?
Where have we been? I'd call Wakefield my second home. Spent Shaky 7 Wakey. Years there, but we're not going to head over to Wakey. Let's go to, have we been Samoa? We've been Samoa.
I came back from Samoa.
Did we do the tattoo?
We did that one, and we did the No Tongans Allowed at that place. So we've done Samoa twice. What about Niue? Should we go back to Niue? Or for our good friend Mike Filimono that came on the show? Another Niuean fact.
All right, let's go to Niue. And Sammy, sorry, not Hammy. Joseph, Joey.
Oh, yep, Sefapolo being Niuean as well.
Sefapolo.
Yes. You're really picking up the lingo well. You're from the west of Fiji, brother. All right, let's set, boy.
Well, we're heading to Niue next week. Now, let's speak to Totai Kefu, our rugby union expert.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu! Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Joining us every week to chat all things rugby union is my favourite Wallaby, Queensland Reds legend and former Ikaletahi coach Totai Kefu. Kefs, how's your week been?
It's been pretty cruisy this week. I've been waiting for this visa to come through and it hasn't come through yet, so I'm hoping next week.
Are they still chasing down them taxes that you owe in Japan?
amongst other things, probably blocking that.
Hey, on the weekend we've seen the Reds take on Tonga in Tonga, both men's and women's. Quick question, what's the importance of having these kinds of games in the islands?
Oh, that absolutely means everything, not only for the game itself in terms of just for the locals to get out and watch rugby and to grow rugby, because, you know, we're in direct competition now with the league boys, Matema Tonga, so we need as much rugby on the islands as possible. I was actually disappointed with the with some of the turnout, you know, over the last 3 weeks. So we had games against Italy and Spain, and I thought there could have been a lot more people there. It's not like everyone's working or anything on the island. So maybe the cost, they need to reduce the cost and just let people in maybe after a certain time, maybe after half time. But we definitely need more games we play, the better the locals get. It's simple as that.
We saw that in Samoa as well. I thought even with their performance after some of their wins, I know the weather wasn't great, but I thought there would have been more people there for those games. So hopefully, that can improve over the Pacific Nations Cup. The men's, obviously another loss. They blooded some new players, so it wasn't the experience like the couple of weeks they had beforehand. Did you see a bit of an improvement at all in that game?
Oh, look, it's hard to say. They pretty much changed half the team. And from what I found out, half the team were local players. So they should never have called the team the Kalitahi team or the Tongan team. It should have been a Tongan development team or a Tongan A team, because that's a cap, that they're giving away. And you've got to earn that. And I think guys who have played for Kalitahi before, I think it devalues their cap when they play. So these guys, look, it's great that they play. We need more development games, like T mentioned, but they should have called it a development team. Look, I don't know if you guys watched the game. It was in atrocious conditions. It was raining. It was muddy. And we actually led the Queensland team for the first 5 minutes. we scored a try. Lotu Anisi, outstanding again. His form's just going. I think he captained the team too, or maybe vice-captain. But, look, we're lucky it probably did rain because probably the Reds would have belted us by 70 or 80. In the end, they beat us by 40, 50 points. They were just too good for us, too clinical, especially in the wet. The set piece was dominant. In the second half, they controlled territory. They were basically just down in our half, in our quarter for most of the game.
Yeah, you're not wrong there. No, I actually loved your comments around the fact that the caps are earned. It's just not a token game. And I guess when we look at the women's game, 15-0 at halftime, then it would end up being a 65-0 blowout. I was talking to Eti Aholele, the coach for Tonga. His brother, Isaiah, is the new CEO. He was saying that the Tonga girls had no games even leading into that test match against the Reds. Like, do you think that needs to happen more, like a local competition for the girls and play more footy before they actually, you know, represent their country?
Oh, most definitely. T alluded to it earlier. We've got to have games. You know, if there's not a structured competition on Ireland, it's always going to be hard for those girls because, therefore, the only kind of practice they're going to get is in training when they're playing against each other and doing drills against each other. There's got to be a structured competition. So hopefully this can kind of kickstart that kind of development, and maybe the TRU can look at that moving forward. But, yeah, look, I heard a lot of the girls were on Ireland girls. A couple came in from New Zealand. You're playing against the Queensland Reds team, who've just come off the back of their competition. They didn't do too well this year, the Reds, but they trained like they were professional for the last 6 months. So they're always going to beat the Tongan girls.
Yeah, we're actually catching up with Jeff Tomanga Allen, who played for the Reds and would have played in Tonga against the Tongan team. So keen to hear about that, the environment, and, you know, if he would stay back and watch the women's game again as well. Look, only last week we were talking about the sevens, the Olympic sevens, and the pool stages with Fiji and Samoa. Look, Fiji have finished with a silver. What are your thoughts on the sevens Fijian team overall?
Look, I think Jerry Tuwai, he's won two gold medals already. It would have been great for him. This is probably his last Olympics. It would have been great for him to go out on a third gold medal. I don't know if you guys watched the game, but the atmosphere was unbelievable. It was a packed stadium. It's been packed stadium for the last week for the men's and the women's. But, geez, what an unbelievable game. I think in the end, Fiji's discipline probably let them down. It was quite tight until half time. But the French guys, players I've never heard of before, that Andy Timo, he looks like he's from African descent. He's a monster.
He's massive, isn't he?
Oh, unbelievable. He was outstanding. Like, he's going to play for the French national team at some stage, I reckon. I don't actually know what position he does play, but he'd look good in the centres, I reckon. DuPont came on at half time, pretty much changed the game, and that won it for him.
Seeing, as you just mentioned there, the crossover of some of the French players, we saw DuPont, obviously he's the best number nine in the world at the moment, outstanding players, crossed over to sevens. Do you think it's a genuine pathway, that sevens program, to be able to introduce kids, both men's and women's, to be able to learn the skills at the sevens format to then transfer it into a 15-a-side?
Yeah, look, I think so. I think it's a genuine pathway. If we break down the game, catch pass has got to be at a high level. You've got to be fit. Jeez, these guys are genuine athletes. It wasn't like the sevens we played in our day. We'd drink half a cart before we played. there was no tackling. If you look at the tackling, if you look at the ruck these days, you've got to be absolutely really accurate around the ruck because there's not many players involved. It's basically a two-on-two or a one-on-two battle. So you've got to be really accurate. So if you're cleaning out, you've actually got to really be accurate and do your job because you're only really cleaning out. So you've got to secure the ball. So I really like it in terms of that development and speed. You've got to have speed. I've just noticed Corey Tools played in the Olympics. He's now, I reckon he's going to be one of the wingers for the Wallabies in its upcoming campaign. And he's done some great things for the Brumbies this year as well.
Well, let's touch on that. The Wallaby squad, you mentioned him, but some of our two Pacifica players have been included, Fijian Seru Uru and Marika Korembete comes back into the fold after commentary around no foreigners, or I mean, so no overseas players to be selected for the Wallabies.
Where did that comment come from?
From Rugby Australia themselves. Maybe not Joe Schmidt, or maybe it was, but it was definitely commentary around the fact that they weren't going to choose any overseas players. So
got to bet the A, changing the rules, in.
So
man.
What's your thoughts around that, Kev?
It's their own rule, isn't it?
Like, yeah,
it's
it
not
is.
So you can change it to whatever you want. Look, if the players are available and they're better, why wouldn't you use them? Mm. Like, you know, you want the best players playing. And Corey Abetti, he's got to be one wing, and then you throw Corey Toole on the other wing. Those two blokes, unbelievable, world class, I think.
And the inclusion of Seru, the big lock from the Reds, is that an area? I guess when you look at the Wallabies, the way they played, is that an area we're sort of short in the second row spot?
Yeah, I think so. Would they be looking at him as a more of a utility coming off the bench, lock back row? That's what I'm thinking. He's had an outstanding year, I think, with the Reds. I think he's been one of our better players. How many Fijians are in that Wallaby squad?
That's a good question.
Need your knowledge question.
How many is there? What do you know, Kev?
No, I don't know. I haven't seen the squad actually, but
well, don't throw those out there to me. Like, well, we're supposed to be in the know here with our knowledge for our people.
Oh, rugby union, blokes.
What's he?
Hey.
Aren't you supposed to be doing research? That's why I was asking.
Well, I had the research there, but I wasn't actually consciously looking at how many Fijians. I just know that we have plenty of Pacifica presence in the Wallabies, and hopefully they do really well in the upcoming tests. But some of the other upcoming tests, we do have the Pacific Nations Cup starting on the 23rd of August. We took a look at Tonga's preparation leading into it this week. Let's just have a look at Samoa's preparation leading to it after a couple of good games, and they're going to be pushing Fiji, I think, for this competition.
Yeah, look, I think they're going to it'll with Tonga and Samoa, it's all going to be dependent on what type of players they get through the door. If you have a look at the calendar, so at the end of this month it starts, and then it rolls into September. Now, I'm pretty sure the top 14 starts at the end of this month. The Premiership starts at the start of September. I think the NPC is finishing off at the end of this month. I don't know where they're going to get their players from, because so if you're playing for your NPC, you're getting about 20, 30 grand. You're certainly not getting that from Tonga or Samoa. So I don't know. It depends on who they can recruit for their teams. Tonga need to be critical. That's a big space that they need to work on. Samoa had a really decent squad, I thought, during the early Test matches.
So I actually saw Adam Coleman. He plays over in Bordeaux, I think, in France.
Yep.
So he was already on the plane back to France. So I'm assuming that he's not going to be released to go back and play for Tonga. Yeah. Is that correct?
Well, yeah, definitely. There's a lot of players who are going to choose not to play. Their clubs won't let them come. Mm. So they're on big money contracts. Tonga can't afford to match that or even get anywhere near that. So it's going to be interesting to see what type of players they get in, because I thought the games against Italy and Spain, just not good enough. Just not good enough. They need better players.
And it's not like they're preparing for a World Cup anytime soon as well.
That's a big one, yeah.
Exactly. And that's when, the point you're making, T, is that's when all the good players come.
Yep.
I can't see any of the good players. I'm my relative, Talusa Vainu, he's not coming, and he's one of their better backs.
Man, that's interesting, especially for Samoa. If you look at some of their players, especially their captain, Theo McFarlane, he plays at Saracens.
Yeah.
Like if he's missing for them, there's probably going to be a host of players. So I think it's an interesting point you bring up. And then compared to maybe Fiji, a lot of they've got half their squad being draw players. So
exactly,
they're going to have a pretty handy team leading into that. So
the majority of players would come from the Super Rugby comp, you think?
I
think so, because the Japanese comp, well, my club just started training this week.
Yeah.
So So the players who are over there are started. They're just gearing up for their season. Like I said, the Premiership, they're in the middle of pre-season now. Their competition starts at the start of September. The French team, I think even Div 2 have already, they start mid-August. So I don't know where they're getting these players from.
Man, that's got to be an interesting one then. I didn't even think about the NPC competition in New Zealand, where a majority of our Pacifica players play as well, that takes over.
And it also means that more opportunities for other players to step up and get their international experiences.
Yeah, it is. From local, I will unearth some more local talent. But where do you see Samoa probably finishing in this competition, with all of that information?
Well, there's two pools. You know, Fiji, Samoa and Tonga are in the same pool. I actually think Samoa can challenge Fiji. Again, depending on the players they get, Fiji are stacked and they've got that draw team behind them. So that's going to be hard to beat. Fiji have had a tougher lead up. So they've had some really good, solid hit outs, whereas Samoa have just had that Italy and Spain game. I fear that Tonga will probably finish last in that pool. Samoa second, Fiji on top.
Yeah, nice. Before we let you go, Kev, I know we talked about your visa heading over to Japan. You know, what's the move like this time around compared to, I guess, when you were a player or when you were a coach before, you know, a little bit older now? What are you looking forward to the most getting over there?
Much more relaxed now. I think last time I moved over there, well, actually, I had three young kids in tow. So my kids aren't coming. They're all old now. They're finished school. They're at uni. One's working. So it'll just be myself and my wife. Lucky me, eh? my wife will come between both. But I'm really looking forward to it. The last 6 months has been awesome, you know. And I'm looking forward going into an assistant's role, which is I don't have that responsibility of looking after stuff off the field, you know, recruitment. I just have to look after my brief, which is the forward. So I'm looking forward to that.
And another one, the famous line that I've heard from your old Bulls, an excuse to go out and not come back is to take out the rubbish or go buy the milk and have a good time. Is that still going to work this time around, say 15 years later, that I'm darling, I'm going to take the rubbish out, not come back till tomorrow?
Mate, I fall asleep around 11 o'clock. So times have changed.
Nice, mate, for the better. Outstanding work, Kev. Hey, as always, really appreciate your time. And we'll see you on Monday, actually, on that Pacific Sports Show. So we're looking forward to that.
Looking forward to that, boys.
Shh. Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
Last week, Professor Paulo gave us an Olympic-themed true or false question. I was first to snap up the question, Sammy, and got it right, which means
I've got a slight lead of 10 to 9.5 T.
How did that happen?
I got no idea, but I'm definitely getting smoked in the knockout tipping competition, but we'll get to that shortly. That's how it happened. See, I'm still in front.
All right.
Get that puzzled look off your face. Yeah. You're losing by 0.5.
Let's go play the question.
My question for today will be family ties in the NRL. For example, if I was to ask how many people have played in the Errol family, you would say 2. Because of Kale and Kevin Errol. If I was to ask how many people have played in the Cleary family, you'd say 2, Nathan and Ivan. But today's question is, how many people have played in the Hopewati family?
2. Sam, you say 2.
Hey, I said T.
Oh, you said 2.
Rewind it and listen. I said T.
T. All right, go for it, bro.
Nah, you go.
All right, so we have John, we have Will, we have Lehi, we have Pani, we have, did Jamal play a game? I think he's played as well. I'm going to say, if we both get it wrong, is it the closest to?
Nah, it's closest just no to? Point.
No point?
No point.
So it has to be exact.
Exact.
I'm going to say 6.
Ooh.
I'm going to say 6.
So what did you go? John, Will, Pani, Lehi. Jamal.
And the one down in Canberra. For the Raiders. What's his name
again?
Yeah, he's played NRL.
He's played, yeah.
So I want to say six.
Oh, Jamal played too.
Yep.
I believe. All right, I'm going to go seven. I should have went five.
The answer is five people. John, the father, the boys, Will, Jamil and Albert,
Jamil.
And their sister, Carlos Abani.
But see, he's missed one. He's missed Lehigh.
He's missed Lehigh. He's missed Lehigh.
And he's probably missed another, I reckon.
So I'm right. Oh, give me that point.
No, you know what? No, no.
No, why?
We have to fact check it because there could be more. It could be more than Lehigh.
There's a lot of kids there.
And I don't know what's up with Professor Paul.
Mate, he's not on this. He's not on this week.
Family. There was Tony, his son, and then Tony's brother Kevin. Kevin and Tony.
Professor Paul, I'm going to have to take that professor line away from you after that effort.
That was shocking.
That was shocking. And if I get six, I'm taking that point.
If you get six, I'll give you the point. If there's more than six, I get the point.
No, we both get it wrong.
Or then we both get it wrong.
No, we'll wait till next week anyway. Let's move on to our knockout tipping. Not bad tipping.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
We forgot to mention the loser of Professor Paulo has to buy a fancy lunch at the end of the season. The loser of Knockout Tipping Comp.
I think you're actually in front. I don't know if we added the score from last week because I remember I might be buying the lunch, I think, after last week. That was the update. Hey, we'll get on. We'll get to that after. But let's go to our Knockout Tipping Comp where we originally had to pick one team each week from the Rugby League and Rugby Union Worlds, and we couldn't pick them again, but we're getting to the pointy end of the season, T.
No Rugby Union.
No Rugby Union.
So we're going to go with NRLW.
Yeah, let's do that. We should be bringing that in anyway.
Well, we'll go NRL and NRLW this week, and then we'll revisit
it for next week. Yeah, okay. Sounds good to me. This week,
Who you got?
I am actually going to go.
Just a reminder, the score is 30 me, 23 you.
Sorry?
That's right, mate.
23. I got nothing right last week. Oh my goodness. Looks like I'll be. What's the loser getting out of this one? I'll have to do. Can't even remember.
Was this a lunch as well? Or a dinner? This was a dinner. The last one was a lunch. So we're going to lunch, then dinner, and the tattoo.
Yeah. All in the one day. Perfect. All right, I'm going to go after your great analysis on the Broncos and the Titans. I'm going to take the Titans. I think they're on a roll. I don't know why. For both games, actually, I'm going to NRLW Titans, NRL Titans.
I actually think that's a good shout. I reckon the Broncos are under a bit of pressure and the Titans they're on a roll now. So, yeah, good pick. Well, I hope it's a good pick. But then again, you are Drake. You have the Drake curse. May pick the best team. You may pick Panthers and they'll most likely lose. So, this week, I will go with the... Have I picked Storm?
I don't think you have.
I'm going the Storm over the Dragons in the NRL. And in the NRLW, I'm going to go... I'll go the Roosters just because I thought they... Sorry, the Broncos looked... Actually, not para. Nah, Roosters. Staying with Roosters.
Come on, mate. Just one.
Yeah, I thought Broncos struggled last week against Parramatta. They lose Nuasala through the suspension, which will lose a bit of go forward. So I'm going with the Roosters, who should have scored a little bit more points against the Knights, but didn't. So Roosters for the NRLW and Melbourne Storm for the NRL.
All right, T, that's outstanding. And that's our time up for another Nesian Footy Friday episode. Remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nesian Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.